The following program may contain coarse language, violence, nudity, mature subject matter, or scenes which may not be suitable for all viewers. Viewer discretion is advised.
All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob Bacano.
And welcome back, everyone. Hour number three of tonight's show, and it is now officially, let me see, Thursday, the 17th day of November in the year 2022. And next month is Christmas, so all you little boys and girls should be in bed by now, listening to Mom and Dad, and because Santa Claus has got this big book where he marks down whether you're naughty or nice, and heck, I know. I've got 15 grandchildren, a couple of great-grandchildren. We know that kids are good. So, there you go. This edition of the X-Zone Radio TV show is being brought to you by our good friends at Beautiful Mind Coffee. Visit their website, www.beautifulmindcoffee. X-Zone Nation, my guest this hour is Dr. William Wagner. And let us bring the good doctor in. And Dr. Wagner, welcome to the X-Zone, sir.
Oh, thank you, Rob. Glad to be here. Thank you.
How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Excellent. Tell us a little bit about yourself, doctor.
I've had a very, very unusual life. I'm 87 years old now.
God bless you.
I just had a very fascinating life, but I'm a civil engineer from my first degree. Then I went ahead and went on to seminary and got a degree in seminary, master's, and I got a second master's, and I went ahead and got a couple of doctor's degrees in theology. I've been a pastor, I've been a missionary, I've started two Bible schools and one seminary in Europe, and I started a university in the United States and just got finished starting another organization called the Global Strategy Forum. And so I've had quite an interesting life.
Wow, 87 years old, still going strong, and God bless you, sir, for all the great things you do.
Yeah, I just had a track meet the other day, the Western Regional for the Association for Track and Field of the United States, and got four golds and one silver, so I'm still doing pretty well.
I have a question to ask you, sir. Why should a secular person today accept the Bible?
Well, that's an excellent question. I think very simply that the Bible is true. Now, let me just say, I am a very, very conservative Christian. I actually believe in the six-day creation world. I believe in that Noah had the problem of the flood. I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Mm-hmm. I come from a very conservative viewpoint. But to me, the Bible is the Word of God. And so one of the things that I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help people who see the Bible as a confused series of stories to show that it really has a purpose to it. That's why I wrote this book entitled The Amazing 2% of the Bible.
I am a Christian, sir. I am a believer. My children are Christians and my children are believers. And I believe that the Bible was the greatest book that has ever been written. And I think we need the Bible today more than we've ever needed it at any other time in history.
I think we're on the same page on that one, sir.
I do believe so, sir. Why do you think in today's society, Dr. Wagner, that there is such a rift and people are leaving the church, leaving their religion, leaving their religious philosophies for paganism, for Wicca, for witchcraft?
There's a lot of reasons for that, Rob. And I think, number one, there is very definitely a war on Christianity. And again, I'm very conservative. I believe in mm-hmm. spiritual warfare, and I believe that Satan is doing everything in his power to try to bring people away from the faith. And we have statistics now saying that the evangelical church is losing 80% of our young people between the ages of 18 and 22.
Wow.
And a lot of that is because of the educational system, because of college, and many other reasons are involved in that. But there is a war against Christianity, and it's been pretty successful.
You know, I remember when I was going to school, we used to say the Lord's Prayer at the beginning of the day. followed by standing up and singing "O Canada," and then "God Save the Queen." I believe that when we decided to take religion out of the church, out of schools, we took away some of the greatest lessons that our children need to learn.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one of the things that I'm working on very, very much now. I've just simply created a new organization called the Global Strategy Forum. And what we're doing is we've got together 70 of the world-class mega thinkers together to say, what can we do mm-hmm. to bring the faith back into our society and into our schools?
And how is that coming along, sir? Are you gaining headway?
Extremely well. Yeah, extremely well. We have a lot of top-notch people. What I did, Rob, is about 7 years ago, I wanted to find out why some groups were growing. Mm-hmm. There were so I studied the Southern Baptists, of which I am one, the Assemblies of God, the Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, the Muslims, the homosexuals, and several other groups to find out why they were growing. And strangely enough, I found out that the Muslims divide their strategy development on three levels: a micro, which means working with people, mm-hmm. a meta, which is working with institutions, and a mega, which is working to change the society. Well, after I did my study, I discovered that of all the groups I studied, only three of these groups had a mega strategy in place. They were the Mormons, the Muslims, and the homosexuals. Wow. And the church, either the evangelical or just say the Protestant church, does not operate or work at that level. And so what we're trying to do is get some of these top-notch mega thinkers from around the world together and begin working at that level.
The amount of negative publicity that has been in the news about the Catholic Church and the crimes against children, that could not, in my opinion, be very good for any religion.
Well, there's some validity to that, and the church has made a lot of mistakes, I think, sure. And the church continues to make mistakes. And I think it's valid for us to be corrected when we have made mistakes. But at the same time, the Roman Catholic Church has done a magnificent job in the area of medicine and nursing and, mm-hmm. and helping. They're really at the forefront of doing that. Nobody knows anything about that. It's interesting that of all the health societies in America today, the one that is has the third highest number of people working to help people whenever the catastrophe are the Southern Baptists, but nobody knows that. We were right behind the Red Cross and the Salvation Army.
But why don't we hear about the wonderful work that the Southern Baptists are doing and the wonderful work that the Catholic Church is doing when it comes to healthcare? Why do we only... Is it the old adage that if it don't bleed, it don't lead? Is the media to blame for that, sir?
Well, I think that we need to discover what the media is and how they're doing and how we might mm-hmm. be able to work with the media to help them to understand who we are and what we're doing. That's what we're all yeah. about now at this point.
Dr. Wagner, please stand by, sir. You and I have to take a very short break. And Exo Nation, our guest this hour is Dr. William Wagner. His website is WilliamLWagner.com. And Dr. Wagner and I return on the other side of this very short break. Don't go away. And the X-Zone Radio TV show is brought to you by Beautiful Mind Coffee. Visit their website at www.beautifulmindcoffee.ca. Dr. William Wagner is our guest. WilliamLWagner.com is his website. Doctor, how do we explain to children, you know, who are going to school, who are taking up science, and they learn that that it took millions of years for the earth to evolve, when the Bible says 6 days and on the seventh day he rested?
Well, to be truthful with you, Rob, that's why I wrote this book, The Amazing 2% of the Bible. I tried to help people understand some of these more difficult concepts of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And for the creation story, I'm satisfied with what I've got today. I have studied all these various systems and belief groups that say it's this or that or that. And I've come to the conclusion that there was what they call the gap theory. That from verse number one, where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," mm-hmm. and two, when the earth was without form and void, that there were millions and millions of years. And so I believe that there was a creation. You can go back as far as you want, 35 million, no matter how long you want to go. Sure. And that God was involved in the creation, and that there was a creation, and this earth evolved in any way you want to do it. You can believe with the theory of evolution. And it came down to a place and to a point where God actually, there was a war in heaven. The Bible says in Revelation, there was a war in heaven. And a third of the angels fell, and they came down to earth. And I believe that the earth was destroyed completely. And the Bible says, and the earth was without form and without void, tohu and bohu in the Hebrew language. And then the creation took place, which is a 6-24-hour day, and it was between 4,000, 5,000 years ago. And so I have this gap theory, and I've been able to pretty well prove to myself that this is true. And I believe, as I've talked to college students, and I've worked with college students all my life, they can accept that, because evolution is acceptable, but also God did it, and he did it as the Bible describes.
Would it not have been better then, and I'm certainly not trying to rewrite the Bible here, sir, and I certainly don't ever try to tell God what to do. Would it not have been better, though, if it would have been the seven steps of creation instead of the 7 days of creation? For example, you know, the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, changes to first step, seventh step, second step, third step. And on the seventh step, and for the seventh step, he rested.
Well, you know, he uses the word yom, and yom is generally considered in the Hebrew language a day, but it could also be a period of time.
Okay.
But I believe it was a day, because it said the morning and the evening was the first day, the morning and the evening was the second day. So I believe it pretty well defines that. But to me, the beauty about the Bible is what was left out. God decided for some reason not to explain the whole creation story more in detail. I wish he would have. I wish he would have spent a lot more time doing it, but he decided not to do it, so I can accept that.
Is it possible that during the Council of Nicaea that part was taken out?
Oh, boy, you've asked me a question that I don't know on that one. I'm really not sure about that.
Okay. In the Bible, it talks about fallen angels, the Nephilim. What is your interpretation of what these were, sir?
I'm glad you said that. But my whole theory of the idea of the amazing 2% is that there are a large number of verses of scripture that are extremely difficult to understand. That is one of them. The Nephilim is one of them. The idea, too, that there's, Paul said, I went to the third heaven, that there's three heavens. The idea that Michelangelo could not come down to see Daniel because he was stopped by the prince of Persia. There's a tremendous number of Bible verses that we just simply don't know what they are about. So what happens is God just put those in to let us see, to my way of thinking, how great he is.
Is it possible that we don't understand what those verses mean at this time because it's not time for us to fully understand the entirety of the Bible? That as we progress as a civilization and as we progress as Christians, that we will come to understand and share the knowledge that we each and every one of us have with each other to basically fill in the blanks and better understand these right now, these verses that we can't understand.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely. Now you ask about the Nephilim. You know, I read Eric Van Donaghy's books. I've done a lot of study on paranormal and all these different things. It's been fascinating to study these. And a lot of people say, well, these must have undoubtedly been aliens that came down and that they were here on Earth and they had a prayer. And I can accept any of these. If people say that that's what it is, fine. God did not choose to allow us to see at this time. But now we see through a glass darkly, but someday we're going to see face to face.
What about demons? Are demons real? I believe in angels. I've always believed in angels. I believe I've seen angels, but the only demons I have ever seen in my life prior to broadcasting was when I was in the police force. I saw a lot of demons doing that job. They were humanized demons. But as far as the spiritual demons, are they as real as angels are, sir?
I believe they are. Yeah, I'm very much convinced. And again, in my book, I say we have angels and we have demons. Mm-hmm. And God did not explain to us how they function and where they function and what they do. I had a good friend who was a German theologian, a German psychiatrist, really. And he was a top authority in the Roman Catholic Church. And he was a well-known psychiatrist in Germany. And I said to him, now, sir, you are a strong Catholic, yes. And you and the Catholic Church has exorcism and they exorcise demons, yes. You're a psychiatrist. Can you believe in the existence of demons at the same time being a psychiatrist? He said, Bill. He said, we psychiatrists have an answer for everything, but there are demons and they need to be exorcised from various people. I thought that was an interesting thing. He was a person that did not need to believe, but he mm-hmm. does believe demons. And yes, I believe there are demons.
I came up with a theory years ago. First of all, I'd like to share a little story with you if I could, sir. At the age of nine, I was kicked out of the Anglican Church for asking too many questions. Mm-hmm. And what that did was, you know, the minister called up my mother and said, don't send your son to this church anymore because he's the son of the devil. And all that did, sir, was pique my curiosity that much more. Yeah. And I don't know how many times I've read the Bible cover to cover. Like I said before, in my opinion, it is the greatest book that has ever been written. But what I came up with was this hypothesis that in the Bible, it points to our world being a binary existence. We have good, evil, up, down, in, out, binary code, zeros and ones. And I think that if we look at this and put it into the context of looking at the Bible from today's point of view, all that science does is actually confirms everything that's in the Bible.
You're right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So is it possible for Christians to cast out these demons, to exorcise them?
Absolutely, yeah, and I think the Roman Catholic Church has. You've probably had various people on your program who have specialized, I think, in casting out demons. I myself have certain gifts. One of the gifts that I have, I am very glad of this, is not to cast out demons. I've been involved in two different instances where I've been trying to cast a demon out of an individual, mm-hmm. and neither time was very successful. But I have spoken to demons. I'm very much aware that they exist, mm-hmm. and I'm 100% a believer that they do exist today. Now, if you go to Africa, they'll all say absolutely they exist. In the Western world, we will not have that much contact with them because they don't have the same power that they have in some of these parts of the world.
In your opinion, Dr. Wagner, is there a war against Christianity today here in the West?
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. Now, the Bible does say that in the last days that there's going to be a falling away. And mm-hmm. I believe that that is actually taking place at this particular time. But no, there is a war. There's a political war. There is many people within the church, even though they're within the church, they really don't believe too much about God or about the Bible. So, yeah, there is a war against Christianity today.
So how do we turn things around? How do we put the Christ back in Christmas, to use that analogy? Because here we are getting into the Christmas season, and so many political groups have weighed so heavy on municipalities, provincial governments, and even the federal government that Christmas, as we know it, should no longer be celebrated. They took down Christmas trees. They take, you know, for a couple of years, it was politically incorrect to say Merry Christmas. It had to be season's greetings. Mm-hmm. How do we counter this, Doctor? Because I think this is a travesty. You know, other people claim that they have religious rights, but when it comes to Christians, man, it seems that we're at the end of the stick.
Well, that's exactly what I'm working out with this Global Strategy Forum. I'm saying, how do we do it? You're asking, how do we do it? And I'm saying, well, there's a lot of things that we have in strategy development. For instance, there are what we call gatekeepers. Mm-hmm. And there are gatekeepers and people who work within a certain area of culture. For instance, as we're looking at culture, we feel as if there are 12 different mountains of culture. There's a mountain of art and theater and government and education and religion and military and sports. And so what we're doing is we're saying, how do we come down now and influence all of these different mountains of culture? So we've got generals and military, we've got the head of the World International Sports Organization, we've got members of parliament, and all of these people are coming together to say, how can we make Christianity a viable, acceptable religion in our society today? Ask me in about 2 or 3 years, and I'll give you some more answers.
I'll keep you to that, sir. I certainly will. Is there a hell? Because based on my hypothesis of our existence being binary, up, down, left, right, in, out, good, evil, if there's a heaven, in my opinion, there has to be a hell.
I think there's a hell. I don't think we know at all what it's like. We had the one description of the lake of fire, and that's very good. Dante came along with all of his definitions of hell. The Muslims have 7 different hells, and it's very well described for each one, exactly what is happening in those different ones. I kind of like C.S. Lewis's idea. He kind of felt like hell was a small British village, and in his book, The Great Divorce, he talks about these people in hell going to the outskirts of heaven. And he basically said, hell is where God does not exist.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and I like what he was saying on that too.
In your opinion, sir, what happens to us when we die? Where do we go?
Rob, I've been working a lot on that one. And I'm not sure. I probably am not quite orthodox, and I don't know whether they'll be kicked out of the Baptist. By the way, I was vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention. They elected me to that post at one time. But I believe this. There's a story of Lazarus and the rich man. And it said that Lazarus was in paradise, not in heaven. He was in paradise. And the rich man was in hell. He was in Hades. And Hades is a place of the dead. And paradise, to my way of thinking, is kind of an intermediate stage, not like purgatory, like the Catholics have, but I think it's an intermediate stage to prepare us and be ready for the day and time when the resurrection is going to take place, when we will be resurrected. And so I believe that people go to this Hades, and then they go into this paradise, and then comes the judgment. And then the judgment is very clear. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life go to heaven. Those that are not go into the lake of fire or hell.
In your opinion, sir, are we in the days of the Book of Revelations? Are we in the end times?
You know, all the Christians from the very first time, from all the way down from John, or before John died, they all felt like they were in the last days. Sometimes everybody's going to be right. And I believe that the time is coming where it could be, but I could say very definitely, yes, it could be. There are a lot of the signs that seem to show that the last days are here. But I kind of like what Luther said. If I knew that Christ was coming tomorrow, I'd plant an apple tree today. And so I think that we might be in the last days, but I don't think too much about it.
I often wonder when Christ looks down and sees what is going on in this planet of ours that was given to us in perfect form, how we've taken it from the Garden of Eden to the world of war, chaos, famine. I wonder what he's feeling. I wonder if he looks at God and says, where did we go wrong?
Well, I think it's very definitely that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Right.
Even though there is sin, he so loved us that he allowed us to have salvation, and his salvation is in Jesus Christ. So I think that God is very disturbed and very disgusted with the way the world is going, but I think he is thrilled with those who are Christians, who are serving him and are living their lives for him.
Onward, Christian soldiers.
Amen, sir.
All right, doctor, please stand by. You and I have to take another short break. And Exonation, our very special guest this hour is Dr. William L. Wagner. And his website is williamlwagner.com. And I'll be back. I'm thoroughly enjoying our conversation, sir. And I thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Here we go. Craig, take us to the break, please. And we're back. Dr. William Wagner is my very special guest. His website is williamlwagner.com. Doctor, is there a plan, in your opinion, from Islam to take over the world?
Absolutely, yeah. That book that I wrote, Mecca, and they put out an outstanding magazine. And by the way, they've got some of the world's best missiologists, people that are planning and strategizing. They're doing a great job. And they have said that they will win, they will have everybody in the world be Muslims by the year 2080. And they're working at that. They have had a lot of success in some parts of the world, particularly in Western Europe. Great success in Western Europe. Little success in the United States, some success in Latin America. But yes, they are planning to try to take over the world.
I don't understand what Islam is offering that brings these people into that faith. I know in the prison system in the United States and Canada, there are major numbers of conversions from Christianity, from the Hebrew religion to Islam. I don't understand it. Can you help put some light on that, sir?
Well, number one, according to our studies, and we've made some pretty extensive studies, the number of Muslims that become Christians is about the same as the number of Christians who become Muslims.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much of a balance on that. We don't have any more. We hear of this happening in France. Quite a few Frenchmen are becoming Muslims. But in Iran, many, many of the Iranians are becoming Christians. So it changes from one part of the world to the other. But I think that one of the things that is influential in the minds of many people is that they believe their religion and they practice their religion. Whereas sometimes we as Christians, we don't practice our religion, and they are looking for something that they can really totally accept and believe in. And I think that if we as Christians practice our religion more, I think you'd be better. You know, they're very, very visual. Whenever they pray, everybody prays, and they have all kinds of publicity about their praying. Whereas when we pray in secret and nobody knows we're praying.
Is it that we pray in secret, or we are secure enough in our religion to know that our God is everywhere, whether we're at home praying, whether we're at church praying, or if we're in a field, we pray our God is there, so we don't have to get the attention that Islam gets when they pray.
Yes, but your question was, why are people going to Islam? And I think they're right. Going to Islam because they are putting forth this idea in a way to where people are saying the Islamic people are more serious about their religion, whereas we in Christians are just as serious about our religion, but we do not do a very good job of communicating.
So it's basically that Christians are lousy communicators, and we don't advertise, or we don't get out there and cause problems like the Muslims do in order to get the attention.
Well, I think that's very true. Yeah, we have not really taken advantage of some of the possibilities that we have to communicate better what our faith is.
Should we be concerned with what's happening with Islam? Is there any way that we can stop them besides having another holy war?
I am not really sure about that. I think that where we are now, it seems to be kind of a standoff. And I don't think that Islam is as much of a threat as I thought it was about 15 years ago. There's been a lot of things that have been happening. They have become a little bit more moderate in some of their areas. Mm-hmm. They have failed in Iran with their dictatorial attitude. And that's why there is a real revival taking place among Iranians today all around the world. I actually pastor an Iranian church in California, made up of all Iranians that have become Christians, basically from Islam.
The Quran is a very different book than our Bible. It's a very harsh book. And this is one thing I don't understand. Why would anybody want to be part of a religion that is very, very, very harsh on its followers compared to a religion that is built with a peace-loving God and a philosophy that teaches love and brotherhood?
Well, if you want to have one word to describe Islam, I think it's going to be fear. Every Muslim that I know is tremendously fearful of a number of things. And they are so strong with this idea of hell. Mm-hmm. And they so proclaim it. And the Quran describes hell. They have seven different hells, and it's described. And they always say, if you don't do what we tell you to do, you are going to go to hell and you are going to suffer. And so they have held this above their people. And even though it's harsh, the idea of love does not come through Islam at all. You know, with us, we have a verse that says God is love.
Yes.
And the Muslims have 99 names of God, and none of them is love. To them, God is not love.
Is the God of Islam the same God of the Bible?
No.
If God, well, then why doesn't God, our God, do something about it?
Well, that's a good question. Now, that's one of the things that I try to understand. Mm-hmm. In the book that I wrote about the amazing 2%, and my question was, God, why don't you do more? And he just basically said to me, I have said everything that I need to say. I have given my word. Follow what I am saying in my word, mm-hmm. and this will help you to navigate life, to understand me, to work with your neighbors and your friends. Don't worry. Someday you're going to know more, but there are reasons why I am doing what I'm doing. And I've pretty well been able to accept that now. But the thing right. that's amazing to me is the more I read of these various problems, the more questions that come up, the greater God is to me. Because God is over all of these things, these problems that we have. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is one verse in the book of Genesis. And he also created the stars. And I thought, he also created the stars. Man, and look at that universe, and look how large it is. And he also created the stars. God is great.
Very powerful. Why? Something I don't understand, maybe you can help answer this, Dr. Wagner, is if there is only one God, how come there are so many different religions with so many different deities?
Well, I believe spiritual warfare, and I believe that Satan has mm-hmm. developed these different philosophies and different religious groups, and that they're all in existence and they're all opposed to God. And so I think that once you reject or once you turn away from the living God, you can be susceptible to other belief systems and other ideologies. And I think that's why they are. I think it's a rebellion against God.
Sorry about that. Doctor, please stand by. We've got to take our final break. And Exo Nation, our guest this hour is Dr. William Wagner. His website is williamlwagner.com. And we'll be back as we wrap up this hour here in the Exo with yours truly from our broadcast center and studios in St. Catharines, Ontario. And welcome back, everyone. If you want to find out more about Beautiful Mind Coffee, if you would like to find out where to buy it, it is available on Amazon.ca. But it's also available in some stores such as Sobeys and other locations across Canada and into the United States. Visit their cafe. That's www.beautifulmindcafe.com. Dr. Lyle Wagner is our special guest this hour. And first of all, doctor, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been a great pleasure talking to you, sir, and I admire the great work that you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate being with you, sir.
I had a guest on many years ago. His name was Pastor Harry Walther. And he said, you know, Rob, we were talking about the Bible and the book of Revelation. And he said, you know, Rob, the number 666 is not the mark of the devil. I said, it's not. He said, no, sir, it's WWW. He said, because the devil is working his way around the world now on the speed of the internet. And, you know, I had to sit back and say, my God, he's got a point there. What is your opinion and the way that the internet is being used to assist and further help those who have a war against Christianity?
Well, we're simply not using the internet as we should. Some groups are using it very effectively, some are not. You see, what happened was way back in the Middle Ages, when the printing press came out, Martin Luther used the printing press very successfully, and the whole Protestant Reformation was built on the idea of using the printing press. Today, we should use the internet more effectively than we are today. We have one of our groups within our Global Strategy Forum that is called Technology. And we have a group of very dedicated Christians that have some very ingenious ways for us to use the internet effectively for proclamation of the gospel. And we will be doing a lot better job in the future. But Satan is ahead of us in the use of the internet at this particular point.
What are your final thoughts tonight, Doctor, that you would like to share with the listeners of the X-Zone all around this great big world of ours?
Well, I think that there is this war against Christianity, and there's a desire to try to make Christians look bad, and they're having a certain amount of success to it. I find it very fascinating when I even use the name of Jesus Christ sometimes, because whenever you use the name of Jesus Christ, suddenly you have all kinds of raised eyebrows and people are saying, you're a fanatic. And they say, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So I have no fears of using the name of Jesus. But at the same time, there are many Christians that are afraid to do that. So My feeling is what we need to do is we need to be much more active in finding effective ways to let people know of the faith that we have in Christ Jesus.
Well, Doctor, if there's any way I can help you and your organization and your fellow Christians, you just let me know. I'll stand up there with you.
To be really truthful with you, Rob, as I was here, I think the Lord told me and said, you need to get Rob McConnell to help you with the Global Strategy Forum in our area of communications.
Count me in, sir.
Well, I will bring it. By the way, we are the top advisors for the World Evangelical Alliance, which has 600 million Christians in 130 different countries of the world. So we have people listening to what we're saying. You will get an invitation from me, sir. You will get that.
It's a great pleasure, and I'd like to thank you again, Dr. Wagner, for coming on the show tonight, and to sharing your views, and hopefully we've opened up the hearts of a number of people listening tonight, and we're going to bring some of the lost sheep back home.
Amen. I'm with you, sir.
How can listeners get a copy of your book, sir?
To be really truthful with you, I've written 7 books. And this one, I haven't even promoted it at all, but apparently it is on Amazon. Great. And it's titled The Amazing 2% of the Bible. And I think it's really one of the best books that I've written. My other books have all been published by the World Evangelical Alliance, but maybe someday we'll talk about those too.
I hope to, sir. And from me to you, God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
I believe in Jesus, and I'm not afraid to say his name. And I, for one, sir, will always say Merry Christmas.
I agree with you. Merry Christmas to you, too, and Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Doctor. Take care of yourself, and blessings to you and yours.
Thank you, sir.
ExoNation, my guest this hour has been Dr. William Wagner. His website is www.williamlwagner.com. And I will be back as we continue on the other side of this short break here in the ExoN with yours truly, Rob McConnell, from our broadcast center and studios in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. And like I said before, I am a Christian. I say the name Jesus Christ, and I always say Merry Christmas. We'll be back on the other side of this break. Don't go away.